Hello and welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn.
This weekend was weekend two of a three-weekend cycle for tryouts for ODP in Northern California. So I coached the 2010 boys, and side note to this episode is live time now. I'm collecting evidence and data from coaches who are coaching 9v9 and just trying to understand what they're trying to achieve from the 9v9 game in terms of preparing their players for 11v11, as I'm now receiving players that played 9v9 last year and are making the jump not only to playing 11v11 in their respective clubs, but are also now trying out for a state-level competition team to go and play 11v11. I'm trying to understand just what they're coming from a little bit more. And whilst I understand that the responses that I'm getting are not necessarily from the coaches or clubs or the players that I'm working with at ODP, but there will be some trends in there. I've done this test before where I've asked people for their experiences and objectives at 7v7 and 9v9, and so now I expect something very similar too. So I'll be feeding back on that again real soon. But I pulled together 72 players that come out for tryouts, and I introduce myself, I introduce my coaching and assessment team, and then I say to them, today you have a simple task, which is to just be. B-E, just be. And they kind of look at me like, what? What's this guy talking about? You know, if you've seen All or Nothing, you expect these rousing speeches or this hard-ass coach who's going to sit there and tell you that you've got to be the absolute best to even get a chance of getting near this team. Or if you've seen the Arsenal one with Mikel Arteta, you'll expect me to be drawing a brain that looks like a child drew it and then explaining how this brain has grown over time and how I'm lucky to have it. But none of that, really. I'm not really that type of coach. I'm very short and sharp and to the point, and don't believe in overwhelming players, but I believe in giving answers. And so I simply say to them, just be. And the meaning of it is to just have belief and to just have effort. I'll just start with why. Why do I believe that just be can have any sort of significance or value to these players who are so new to the 11v11 game, they're so new to the overall experience of being in this tryout environment? It's the first real year that we're now offering this ODP program at U13. So why? And I think the purpose for me of giving this information to our players is that I actually think that a lot of them are underserved by their clubs, by their coaches. And I don't mean to offend you, but I'm saying what I see, what I read on Twitter, what I read on from going out to fields and watching and scouting and just talking with other coaches or other clubs and seeing what they've done historically. And the reason I say just be is because a lot of these players are coming to us, and I'll give you the example that of 72 players, I look at the check-in form and I have about 40 players that play either the number 10 or the number 8. And then we build four teams or five teams throughout the tryout window, and they all play against each other, and we simply begin to assess the players in the environment that they put in. Then we develop an all-star field of the best players from all of the teams, and then a development field of players that are going to try and make it across the roadway into the other field. So that's how we run these tryouts. It's nice and simple, nothing really complex, no fancy quote-unquote drills or 1v1s or anything like that. These players need to play the game. Now, when they are getting on the ball, they say they're a number 10, they say they're a number 8, and maybe because they are the biggest, the fastest, the strongest, perhaps they have the best touch of their teams, and so the coach says, you're a number 10. Or they say, I'm a number 10. And as I begin to think about where that comes from, think about it being kind of an integral role in the team, that it's the playmaker, it would be essentially a point guard or a quarterback type position, because the ball often goes through the midfield. It'll often find its way into those players, whether you're building out of the back and looking to break through the middle, or you're looking at that midfield player on the ball as a playmaker to become the assister and start finding the ball into channels or connecting with the number 9. So it really is a popular position. And then, of course, you look at players that play in that position, and the number of the shirt says it all, but you look at players like a Messi that stand in the middle and control the game, and who doesn't want to be Messi? So it's really understandable that they all want to play that position. But of course, these players come from different backgrounds, from different experiences. Their coaches have different styles. Their coaches have different levels of themselves too. And so you think, well, if I'm asking all of these players to play the best number 10 that they are, then that will obviously give me two or three players that can play that position really, really well. And everybody else is just a pretty good player. There's not really much determination between the players that sit on the roster between 30 and 70, for example. So then Just Be is aimed at redefining what their experience can be. So not just that they're a number 10 and they either make the team or they make the pool or they do not, but more about them being able to say that they did everything that they could. And often when we phrase it in a way that you are a number 10, you're a number 9, whatever position you play, if you don't get picked for that position, then you are not good enough. You're not good enough. Somebody else was better. But versus reframing this, and if you ever listened to my Redefining Success talk, or if you've ever listened to anything else I've ever done on here or read my book, you'll see that it's about more than that. So can they walk away saying that they gave their best in terms of belief and they believe that they can do it, and then their best effort? And then this goes a little bit deeper, because then we see the profile of players versus the style of play that we're looking for. And then we see how these players are playing. And then sometimes my coaches and I will look at that player and then challenge them to do something different. Can you go and play the number 3? Well, number 1, the question often is, what's the number 3? And that's not a problem. But then, can you go and play left back? Can you go and fulfill the role of a left back? Now, if you go and play with your team every weekend and you're the number 10 and that's all you ever do, going and playing the number 3 can be a very difficult experience. It could also be a difficult experience if you play the number 3 and then the coach asks you to play the number 2. So the service that we give our players at the club level, that's where I feel like we underserve them, because we don't teach them enough, especially these players at U13 still probably don't have a fully rounded understanding of their preferred position or even just the skill set to play in that position. Remember, a lot of these kids, this is a program for Northern California. If you're familiar with your state ODP program, it's a program that invites all players from your state. And of course, it's fractured somewhat now with ECNL and MLS Next and PDP and so on. But historically, it's been the best players. So now you've got the best players from small communities, from big cities, from big clubs, from small clubs coming in and trying to play the same position. So when I'm saying to this player, you're not going to make it as a number 10 in this group, I can tell you that now. But what else can you do? Where else do you like to play? What other positions do you think that you have strengths in? Because I see that you have, for example, speed, or you have the creativity to go and drop a little deeper or go a little higher. Maybe you could play a false 9 for us. But just offering up a different position to a player often scares them. And if we reframe it as Just Be, we might stand a chance of them being able to show something that they didn't know that they even had. Now, of course, players still need to have a technical ability. They need to have a tactical understanding of a position or of the way we're trying to play. I'm definitely under no illusions that that's a significant part of the quality of a player. But a player that believes that they can do it or is willing to try it, now I'm suddenly able to say, okay, is this player coachable? Does this player have the potential to explode in this position, in this area of the field, or in this new role? And whilst ODP is about the performance environment and is about collaborating essentially a World Cup team and going and competing and winning and getting these players in front of college coaches, in front of MLS scouts, in front of other scouts from other clubs and so on, it's also about giving these players an experience and an opportunity. And often in their club environments, they get pigeonholed into just playing a single position because probably they're good at it, or maybe there's just not anybody else. Or it's the coach's son and or the coach's daughter. And of course, that's the primary position to play. As we said, the prime example is the number 10, that almost half of my group are a number 10, apparently. So then, do you have the belief that you can play soccer in any other capacity that you're being asked to? Now think about when you play pickup soccer, if you ever play pickup soccer, if you see old men play pickup soccer, the game is fairly fluid. People will tend to gravitate towards a position, but then you'll also see them move around. Yeah, I'm going to go and play up front now, or I'm going to go and play on the wing now, or I'll go and goal for a little while. And whilst that's not necessarily saying that they have the belief to do it, they have the freedom and the creativity to go and do that. And I just wonder about how many players that are coming to us are saying, I'm a number 10 because my dad sat over there watching. When in reality, if we said, okay, where do you want to play? Where would that kid honestly say? And the prime example was that a parent said to me, my son's not a center back. And I said, well, your son's not a six in this group right now. He's not going to play in the six, but he has a lot of the attributes that are required to play as a strong center back. But does he have the belief? Unfortunately, he doesn't have the belief if his dad's telling him that that's not where he's going to play. That's not his strong suit. His dad was also wearing a San Francisco Giants baseball cap, by the way. So I think that a guy who's wearing a baseball cap can necessarily talk about soccer. That's not what I'm going with at all. But what I'm asking is of a guy who says, my son is a six, and then says nothing about the ability to transition into the number four position, which is something that I tell people a lot, should be able to step back in a line or step forward in a line or step to the side if they have those traits. But being able to step back and then actually dropping that player back, he was an excellent player in the center back position. So then this player probably doesn't have the belief. How do I instill the belief in this player? Do I have the opportunity to instill the belief in this player? Probably not, because we get together a couple times and then we travel to Arizona to go and compete at the Western Regionals. So now consider the players that you work with every day and what is their belief capacity. How much do they have the freedom to believe that they can do something, whether it is what they always do, or whether it is something just a little bit different, or to be stretched in another way? You know, you ask a player to do something and say, I can't do that, coach. But instead of saying can't, say, can you try? And that's the belief that we're looking for. And unfortunately, a lot of our players are hindered in their own belief because somebody has told them something differently. Just let that sit in. That somebody has told them something differently. And unfortunately, it's the perceived expertise of many people that is putting a lot of players off, or in this instance, it's helping them or failing them from seeing that there are 40 or so number 10 stepping up, but there's only 7 center backs. Now, I might play the odds and say, I'll go and play at center back a little bit. And then what I'll do is I'll say, coach, when we have the ball, could I step into the midfield and go and give us a numbers up scenario so that if we need to rotate possession, I can do that from the middle because I'm good at that. That's my favorite position, or perhaps that's a position I've been told I'm good at, so I believe in it. But I also understand the big picture that that might be an opportunity for me to go and play a little bit more in this environment. So the belief that our players have is often lacking. And then my challenge to you as a day-to-day coach with that player, how can you instill that belief in them? And then effort. Of course, effort is the eye test that we all like, right? We sit there and we say, I love that effort because that kid tried to go and win the ball back, tried to perform an overlapping run, ran to get the ball for a throw-in, or tried to cheer up one of their teammates or encourage them. That's the sort of effort that we love to see. And then when we see bad effort, which is, you know, just giving up or failing to transition after we've given the ball away, or not supporting a teammate who's given the ball away and getting on their back, that's the negative effort that we see often. And it's important that we allow players to have those feelings. And this is really important, that I want a player to tell me or to demonstrate that they're mad. I want them to say that that wasn't good enough by their teammate. But then we got to reframe that effort, that it's okay to say it's not good enough, but how are you going to help that teammate now improve? Or how are you going to support that teammate? Maybe not by putting an arm around them, but by just tracking an extra 10 yards and trying to block a passing lane. And then you're able to say to that player, dude, keep the ball, or find me, or find that, and help them in that way. So often we discourage those behaviors. We discourage that negativity. But we don't embrace it because it can be toxic, because we may have sensitive players or we may have a sensitive environment that says we don't talk negative to our teammates, which I understand. It looks like a slogan on a changing room wall, doesn't it? We don't talk negative to our teammates. But the reality is we should, and we absolutely will, and likely as a coach, you will also do that. But you wouldn't really, probably not intentionally, although you likely know of other coaches who say, that's not good enough. And then they just cut it off at the knees. That's it. That was not good enough. That's all that kid remembers. But the reality is, we as professional coaches, as aspiring leaders of the game, we would then say, that wasn't good enough, but, or instead of, that wasn't good enough, we may frame it in another way that says, you know that wasn't good enough because you've done it X, Y, and Z a million times. And everything is framed in such a positive way that we acknowledge that there was a mistake. The player knows there was a mistake. The player should know that it wasn't good enough based on the way that we train, based on the way that we're trying to evolve the game in our group, in our environment. But when our players suddenly say, hey, that's not good enough, then it's a bad thing. So if we reframe that effort in terms of them not only looking after themselves and hustling to win the ball back, or demonstrating a belief that they can support their team to help win the ball back. You know, of course, we play a 40-yard pass across the field and we lose the ball. I can't really sprint 40 yards to win the ball back, but I'm going to do my best to be as vocal as I can to support my team and to move into a position to be there to support the team's recovery. Now, suddenly, I'm asking a different experience and situation of my players versus just saying, effort, nah, just gives the ball away and doesn't really try. Looking at some complexities in terms of effort. Because then when that player is willing to try, is willing to listen, is willing to be that positive influencer in the team, now suddenly I'm looking at that player in a different light. And I think you're very coachable. You have hopefully some of the physical attributes that we're looking for in terms of touch, in terms of movement, in terms of the ability to change direction and to move between the lines and all of these good things that we like to talk about. But then we're going to marry it with this effort. So when we say just believe and just have effort, we qualify that with these players a little bit more of saying, this is what your effort may look like. This is what a negative effort may be, that you can be mad, but you're going to show that you're mad by flipping that effort into a positive for your team to follow. Do our players always get it? No. Are they timid, especially in a tryout environment for ODP? Yes, of course. And it takes a little while to get them out of their shell. But how do I do that? I do that by being honest with them. I do that by being upfront and clear with them. I do that by encouraging them. And I do that more so by never looking at a player or pointing at a player with a clipboard and then writing something down when they look at it. Because they see me writing something down and it's instantly, oh, was it good or was it bad? And then I'm very honest with the players. We had mixed balanced teams early on. And then when we get onto the field in the afternoon, we have two four-size fields with games going on. And I say, this field over here, these are the players who have done the best at this event. The players on this field, whether it's you or whether you're looking at that field, these players are the players that are on the bubble. They're fighting for a chance to come onto this field right here. So I'm setting a standard that your belief and your effort will get you across. And that's very obvious when we say, hey, you number, whatever your number is, come over here, come and try and play on this field for a minute and go and play in this certain position that we think you might be able to offer some expertise, or you might be offered to some quality for us. And that's the environment that we create for our players. They know exactly where they're at. There's no surprises. They don't leave thinking, oh, I wonder how I did today. They should always be able to say that they left with the best belief that they had on the field and they gave the most effort.